Shabbos, Perk Chaf Mishneh Hey, 25. And now we really are going on to a new topic, which is the topic of Muktzah. We discussed this already previously in the 17th Perk and elsewhere. And the 21st Perk, meaning the next Mishnayos after this one, again, talk about Muktzah, but this Mishnah here already laps into the topic of Muktzah. And the first case is Hakash Shal Gabe Hamita. If you have straw that is sitting on your bed, and that's in the way of having yourself a comfortable rest. So the assumption of the Mishnah is that straw, unless otherwise designated, is for the purpose of kindling a fire. And since you can't kindle a fire on Shabbos, the straw is muktzah, machmas gufo, intrinsically aser, to move is muktzah. And that being the case, one couldn't move it, and therefore the Mishnah says, lo yanenu biyado, you may not use your hand to move it. Ella, what you could do is menaneo bagufo, you could wiggle it off with your body. That is to say, you could lie in the bed and then jiggle around the straw in such a way that it makes your bed comfortable. Some unfortunately learn you're just basically flattening out a bump. Some understand you're actually going to knock it right off the bed altogether. Whatever the case is, by wiggling your body, instead of moving it directly with your hand, you're permitted to move this muktzah. Now, an interesting side point, but an important one, when it comes to moving muktzah in a... If you come to moving muktzah in general, ignoring the side point of klishim lachla isser, under normal circumstances, while you cannot move muktzah in a normal way with your hand, there are two ways in which you could move it. One is called kala achar yad, which means in an unusual way, and one is tiltul min hatzad, indirect movement, meaning you're moving something which is permitted to move, then indirectly that moves away the item. So, like sweeping something up, sweeping with a broom, for example, tiltul min hatzad, whereas kicking with your foot would be kala achar yad, indirect movement. In the case of our Mishnah here, it seems, based on that dichotomy, that this kind of movement would be called kala achar yad, an unusual way of moving, because you're not directly taking your hand and moving the straw, instead you're doing it with your foot or your knee or your belly, whatever the story is, as opposed to tiltul min hatzad, indirect movement, because you're not having something interposed between you and the straw. Nevertheless, the Bartanura recalls it in this Mishnah, tiltul min hatzad, quoting Rashi, which is a little strange, and by the dichotomy I just set up, really, this should be called simply kala achar yad, an indirect way of moving. Now, it's not just semantics, there is a difference, an important difference in general, that applies to these two different ways of moving muktzah. When it comes to tiltul min hatzad, the indirect movement, you're not allowed to move muktzah, tiltul min hatzad, in an indirect way if it's for the sake of the muktzah itself, meaning you want to protect something which fell on the floor, that you wouldn't be able to do, unless you're just doing... in short, you can't do that. Whereas kala achar yad, in an indirect way, an unusual way, you already could move it, move the muktzah for its own purpose. So there's a difference between the two categories. In any case, here we're saying if you do it with your body, it is permitted. That's again assuming, the Mishnah is making the assumption, that this straw was presumed, could be safely presumed in this time and place, to be used for kindling. Vimhaya ma'achal behema. If, however, this straw was intended to be used not for lighting fire, which is muktzah on Shabbos, but rather for feeding an animal, which is permitted on Shabbos, o shahaya alav kar o sadin, or you had some kind of like bedding, like a pillow or a sheet on top of the straw, meaning that would turn the straw into the stuffing of your mattress. And that being the case, it's effectively like a kli, a utensil called a mattress. So as a mattress, it's mutter, it's a kli shem malach d'laheter, it's a utensil that's permitted to be moved on Shabbos, that's no problem. As animal food, it's permitted to be moved. And therefore, if that is what the straw had been designated for going into Shabbos, so then, minaneo biyado, you would be allowed to move it directly with your hand. Again, the Mishnah's assumption is that normal straw is for kindling. The Magen Avraham brings out that whatever's normal is normal. Whatever's going on in your time and place is the presumed de facto use of the straw. That's what would govern what's appropriate and what applies to the halacha here. Okay, a new case. Also, very possibly a muktzah topic. We have the topic of a machbesh. A machbesh essentially is a press, like a clothing press. So what essentially that looks like is you have two boards. I remember pressing flowers as a child or pressing butterflies, same kind of thing. You have two boards. One sits on top of the other, and then the top one slots into like four like poles that is attached to the bottom one, and then you have some kind of like peg or clamp that holds the top one firmly down, applying pressure, and then over a period of time, the clothing that's between the top and bottom boards, gets smoothed out. That's the press. So we're going to differentiate between the machbesh shel bal habatim, a regular amateur's home variety press, which is not that tight in terms of how well it seals. Matirin, one is allowed to remove the pegs or the clamps to take the clothing out that's been pressed inside, because you need those clothes for Shabbos, and it's not that tight, so you're just opening it up. It's not that significant an act. Avalokovshin, you certainly cannot put clothing in on Shabbos into the press and clamp it down. The reason why is because it takes a good amount of time to get the clothes to smooth out if you're using a press. And in such a scenario, you're doing work on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos, which certainly is forbidden. Vishal Kovsin, on the flip side, if you're talking about a press that is a professional launderer's press, so then this is a high-quality press which seals very tightly. Lo yigabo, you cannot even touch it. So according to the Bar Tanura, the pshat here is that if you would, it does such a good job, if you would release the clamps or pegs that are holding it in place, so that's something that is similar to stira, like demolition, breaking apart some sort of kli, whatever it is. So since midrabbanan, it looks like that, it resembles stira. Remember, bonan soser, the malacha of soser, demolition. Therefore, you can't do it. That's the Bar Tanura learns, which is like, fine. Now, that's like Rosh Hashita. Now, there is another approach in the Teres Yol brings it. It's based on the Rambam, that the issue here is muktza, not stira, not demolition, but rather muktza machmas chesron kis. We discussed that before, back in the 17th parak. If something is the kind of thing that you wouldn't touch for any purpose other than its best and highest use, because it's expensive to replace, like equipment that a person uses for his livelihood, the launderer has his fancy press, since you wouldn't touch that on Shabbos for any reason other than pressing, and we're not allowed to press on Shabbos, the whole thing's muktzah machmas chesron kis, and that's why you can't touch it. A separate pshat. But the Shulchan Aruch brings the former, that we're talking about something that resembles soser, and then for really not talking about a muktzah here at all.